Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. What's up, Mike Boddicker?
I've been here for a little while, and I've just been enjoying the bantering between you two and the soccer stuff. And I actually was laughing in there, which is really hard to get me to do.
Do you listen to the show tomorrow? We have Tommy James calling the show.
Yes.
It's going to be pretty good.
They're great.
What's your favorite Tommy James song?
Oh, probably Walking the Line.
Yeah.
I figured you were going to tell us that you've been backstage with Tommy James.
No.
Like every time we talk about some rock and roll
I'm
band.
I'm old, and I had some, with baseball and stuff, get into places and backstage and stuff.
Listen, okay, see, this is what I'm not going to do, all right? We were just talking about this St. Louis, Kansas City soccer fight. About soccer capital. That's the argument, right? Who the soccer capital is? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Are you going to stand up for our city or not?
I am not going to start taking cheap shots and all this other stuff. Marco over here. Marco's still young in this business and young on this show. So he's taking his opportunity to have some ha-has and everything else. He sends me this story that I shouldn't even look at it. I shouldn't even acknowledge it. Okay, and I don't know if he's trying to douse gasoline on the flames, but
he's learning from you.
He did correctly. Marco does correctly point out that in 2016, St. Louis was officially named the STD capital of the United States.
Wait, what?
Which is...
What does that mean?
According to an annual report from the Centers for Disease Control, St. Louis tops the list for chlamydia and gonorrhea cases per capita. But that was in 2016. So
that's 8 years ago.
Things
Six
have cleaned
ago.
Up, I'm sure, since then. But you don't need to, that's not that has nothing
Way
to do
go,
with
Marco.
What we're talking about.
They're probably not going to trademark that,
right? But Marco just said, "Well, they are the capital of something."
I wow.
Said, well, that's,
okay.
I mean, you certainly could look at it that way. I don't. I mean, 2016, the Royals are still contenders. I mean,
times have changed quite a bit.
That was a while back.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I mentioned this to you.
They've made new strides with medicine now.
In the commercial break, this Nate Piketty singing the praises of Chris Bubich. He thinks he's going to have a better run than you
that.
In the majors.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I hope so. I hope the kid has a great career.
I don't believe I said that.
You alluded to it.
As you were coughing into your Kleenex, yeah. I think you said it.
Nate, you're having allergies.
Oh, God, I woke up this morning and my allergies are just killing me. Anybody else?
I thought he was sleeping. His eyes are closed so tight.
Oh, man,
so.
My whole face itches. I just feel like I just rubbed my face into a dandelion or something. Oh. Mm. Anyway.
You know, Boobich
could. There was a follow-up there.
Let it alone, Steve.
Let it alone. So Boobich was named the fifth starter, but Daniel Lynch isn't healthy.
Bad shoulder, yes. Yeah, I would assume that Lynch would have been the fifth starter.
Bubich last started at 6 strikeouts. We're talking about some of the changes he's made. Any hope for...
No, everybody's striking out. Look at yesterday's game. What'd we have? 12 strikeouts again? 2 walks?
They're aggressive, bud.
No, nothing's changed. It just gets over faster. Nothing's changed. It's just still bad baseball. Strikeouts and walks and
but no like Keller's approach and Bubich
I'm hoping yes
they're throwing strikes they haven't done that Bubich didn't throw any strikes last year
you've been begging these kids to throw strikes
oh yeah that's I'm hoping I'm,
what do they call
I'm,
it
I'm
strike at what is it what's the actual
plunder the zone raid, 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 raid the zone
they, used to, the they zone. Used to call it then it was filling
raid,
up,
no,
raiding the zone.
Raid the zone.
They used to call it filling up the zone. There's always names for it.
What about raid the zone? What do you think of that?
Some sort of action verb?
No.
Pillage
the
zone.
Throw strike. All it is throw strikes. Keep it simple for everybody else.
The Royals believe adding his slider to his repertoire will help. What do you think of that?
Can't hurt. After last year.
He was too reliant on his changeup. right? Like, that's, he was always too reliant on his changeup.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to have an other pitch besides a fastball and a changeup when you, let me ask you something. Would Chris Bubich get drafted if he was right-handed?
I don't, I mean, not until, how many, what are there, five rounds in the draft now? We were just talking about it.
I don't care how many rounds there are right now. I don't know if he would.
He said he's been toying with the slider for several years before committing to it this spring. He threw 17 of them against Texas, and that was the second most used pitch behind his fastball. And so tell me the difficulty of a pitcher his age that finally decides to commit to throwing a slider.
It all depends on a guy's wrist. If you got a sloppy wrist, a curveball's better. If you got a tight wrist, a slider's better. So what it does is a slider's good for a guy who throws a changeup, because a changeup will go away from a, if it's Bubich, go away from a right-hander, where the slider will bust in down under his hands to the right-hander. So it kind of gives you, but you see the pitch in the middle, and you have to decide, is it a changeup or a slider? If it's hard to pick up, you're going to swing and miss.
I'm searching for like real reasons, like real adjustments, because it seems like they were just taking shots in the dark under Cal Eldred.
Yep.
Which they would have probably been better off taking shots in the dark than listening.
Maybe
to Cal
they
Eldred,
were taking shots
right?
in the dark.
But and that's why I'm asking you. Here's a real adjustment. He's always toyed with a slider. Now he's committing to it. And they think
if he's going to commit to it, once the season starts, you have to throw it.
But that's a real possibility.
Spring training's a whole different animal. You have to throw it. I don't care. You might get your lunch a little bit, but you got to keep throwing it in order to be successful.
So how hard is it to do that for a guy? Like, say he goes out in his first start and it ain't working, and he like you said, he gets he's eating his lunch out there. He's getting his lunch jammed down his throat.
You still have to do it. You still have to go and keep doing it. Beat your head against the wall. I was a sinker slider pitcher in the minor leagues, and I taught myself the curveball. We didn't have pitching coaches in the minor league back then, and I taught myself the curveball because Steve Stone won the Cy Young Award throwing that slow curveball. Palmer had the slow curveball. McGregor had the slow curveball, and I thought, well, if I'm going to make it, I got to be able to throw a curveball. So I sat in the bench and threw it, flipped it, and flipped it, and flipped it, and threw it in the bullpen. Until I finally figured it out, and I got my lunch for about a half a year. I was called the biggest disappointment in the Oriole organization.
Who said that?
Tom Giordano, who was a minor league in charge of the minor leagues at the time. And then the second half of the year, guess what? I found it. And I got called up that year. Yeah. So it was, you have to keep doing it. It's tough. But it's nicer to learn in the minor leagues than it is in the big leagues. That's the tough part. I'm hoping that he's got it down from spring training, but you don't know.
Okay, so Brad Keller also.
That's the one that intrigues me. Keller intrigues me.
Brad Keller's curveball. He's made the rotation, but a new curveball he debuted this spring has helped him. And there's another reason why some people in the organization believe he could improve and be more consistent. And so he made some mechanical changes with the help of driveline baseball this past offseason. And so he committed to, what do you think of driveline baseball?
Help some people, doesn't help some people.
But it's so. Like, if you're to the point of Keller,
hey, that's
a positive that he went there.
Yeah.
To try something different.
Yeah.
And it's a positive that he's unveiled this curveball.
Well, it's like Alex Gordon. You have to hit rock bottom and say, okay, what do I need to do?
So
here, I'm putty. Do something with me to make it work.
Who do you have more hope for? Bubich in the
Keller.
New slider and Keller in the new curveball? I mean, because Keller's had better success.
He has, but Keller's a big, big dude, man. He can, you know, you were talking about Lyle's eating up some innings. Keller's one that can eat some innings. He's a big, strong dude.
So explain this to me. I mean, honestly, it's pretty clear now that the Royals, you know.
Are you happy with that starting rotation?
No. No. Because I'm not a Jordan Lyles fan.
No, me either.
There were several other pitchers that I wanted them to sign.
The Royals wouldn't let him go if he was.
Okay, I take things. You know this. Yeah. I had a, like a list of 20 starting pitchers that I thought would fit in the Royals' budget that they could legitimately sign, and he wasn't on it. So I mean that I don't you know he what I looked at him I go nah. But if they see something, great. And I hope I'm wrong. It's not like I wanted them to add some. They had to add somebody, but he just wasn't.
It's another year. As, well, if this guy does this, and if this guy does that, and if he can make a step forward, and if he can, there's a lot of ifs.
But
and it's just
you read these comments, and you read. You don't even have to really read between the lines. They to tell you we see, and you know what they're talking about. It's like they keep referencing how pitchers didn't buy in to what they were being told last year. There was no. Everything points back to Cal Eldred, which at some point they're going to have to get off of that because he's gone.
He's
and now
gone.
This is, you
That's
know,
right.
They're going to have to show
you
that he
throw
was
Mike,
a problem.
Mike Matheny in that mix, but, too, because he was part of the problem.
You need to elaborate for me a little bit more. Like, what the hell was he doing? What? Why? Because it seems like last year was just a lost year where everyone knew, hey, this thing with Cal Eldred ain't working out. Fans knew it. Broadcasters knew it. We knew it. Ex-players knew it. Current players knew it. So why was he allowed to stay here for another year?
Mike Matheny's buddy.
But what was this? Like, what was he? What the hell was going on?
It was just Mike Matheny's buddy. He'd never been a pitching coach before, and Cal's a friend of mine. But he doesn't want them to fail.
He doesn't want to fail. But what the hell was he doing wrong? Like what?
He didn't have any of the, I don't know. You got to spend some time in the minor leagues and figure some stuff out. You can do that down in the minor leagues. You get thrown in the major leagues as a pitching coach, and it's like, golly, especially now, because it was different back when we pitched. I mean, we didn't have all these meetings. We didn't have all the charts. We didn't have all this stuff. And it was just basic stuff. And see what you had in your heart and your head, and you make some minor adjustments with mechanics and go get them, and then it's up to you. And that's not how baseball's played anymore. It's they feed their minds with all this stuff, and there's you know, tablets and charts and five meetings a day, and I couldn't play now. I couldn't do it. But
whatever the message is, it's the job of a coach or a manager to be able to deliver that message in a way that the player will buy in, or nothing's going to work. And whatever the message was, how it was clear from the Alec Lewis article that might have got him run out of town, right? He was covering the Vikings. It's a wink nudge, right? But the Royals didn't love that article, did they?
I don't think so.
Okay. But when he was suggesting that there were pitchers, not suggesting, I was telling you, pitchers were leaving the organization and having success by, you know, with the Giants or other teams making adjustments and changing what the Royals are having them do, and then you had Royals pitchers still in Kansas City, like, oh, look at that. Why is he leaving and having success? Why is he leaving and having success? And you don't, and so then you have pitchers that aren't buying in to what the coach is selling. That will never work if you can't get buy-in, right?
Nope. Like, it's different now because the pitching coaches have to know all the other crap that goes along. But back in the day, a pitching coach had two jobs. One is to be a go-between between you, his pitchers, and the manager. If there was issues and guys were pissed off or whatever, you know, they got in there and calmed it down, and you went back and forth. And the other thing is to make you believe that you were one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball, especially from the time you left the bullpen to the time you reached the mound.
It doesn't sound like Cal Eldred accomplished that.
No. But he had no training. He had no – I mean, if you remember, I said he's a sacrificial lamb is what I thought he was. I didn't think he'd last that long. I thought he was just a go-between till he found somebody. But he ended up, it was, you know, it's Matheny's good friend, buddy. And I told you, he was not going anywhere till Matheny left, if you remember.
Right.
So as soon as Matheny was gone, it's a package deal. You're gone. So that's kind of what I expected. I didn't think it would. I didn't think it would last this long.
So, to this isn't a defense of Cal Eldred at all, but he represents, to me, it's just like the idea of Cal Eldred represents an outdated way of looking at exactly what you're talking about, the way that pitching is thought of, because Cal Eldred was the old-fashioned idea of a pitching coach.
That's why I couldn't do it. I'd get fired right away.
Now he's been replaced. He's been replaced by a department. There's a pitching department. You know, there's the pitching coach. Yeah, but even when you look, like I'm looking at the roster page. Brian Sweeney's the pitching coach. Then there's Zach Bove, I think is how you say his name, Bovey. I don't even know. He is the director of Major League Pitching Strategy / assistant pitching coach.
Is there a strategy to pitching?
They have, yes. They have a lead strategist.
Get him out.
/ bullpen. Oh, come on. You were as strategic as any pitcher there was.
Yeah, get him out. Figure it out.
You weren't just going to reach back and throw one by guys. You had to have a mindset of how you talk all the time about the way you could set hitters up and all that stuff. So they have three bullpen catchers. Two of them are described as lead strategist / bullpen catchers. When I went down there, man, I'm telling you, the pitching area back there, it was a department. It was what do they call it in these places? Pitching laboratories or whatever, where they got all these cameras and they're breaking down everything you can do. And I know you can roll your eyes at it, Bob, but that is the way they do it now, and that's what these pitchers want. It's what they want. The game has changed, and honestly, you could say that it's worse or better, but that is what these guys expect to have. And the Royals were not delivering that.
In my opinion, you're right about that. It's what they want, because these kids have never had to think a day in their life. Every pitch has been called for them. They've been told from the day they were little, whether they give up 100 runs, you did a great job today, Jimmy. You were awesome. Here's your participation medal.
Attaboy, Jimmy.
Yeah, and that's what they know. They want somebody to think for them. They can't think on their own. They really can't. They can't look at a situation and understand it. It has to be thought out for them. So this helps them.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I love this so much when teams do this. Sorry.
Zach Bove. There we go.
I like to see the Royals do it, too. If you got a difficult name to pronounce, they do an audio recording of the player coach saying their name for like Nate Buchady. Yep. Like, I don't know, is it Bove or Bove? Then I go to this page and I...
Zach Bove.
Yeah, Zach Bove.
So he's got two names, Zach Bove.
Now, by the way, some respect on his name.
When you're doing play-by-play for soccer and the players come from every continent.
I don't know how you do that. I really don't.
It's really helpful. But then there's sometimes a guy says his name, and I'm like, there's no way I can make those sounds. I don't know how to do it.
Let's listen to Matt Quatrero say his name.
There you go.
You like this? You like this, Mike? Cool.
Matt Quatrero.
Thanks, man.
What do we do today on the Border Patrol? We listen to players and coaches pronounce their names.
Hey, how about
that's because nobody knows who the hell they are.
No, this is good considering what's going on at Kauffman today.
Yeah. Boy. Well, how about the assistant hitting coach? Keone Durane?
Let's hear what you think it is.
Irish I'm going to guess huh? Keone Durane. Okay.
Is he correct?
No.
Okay. Mike has no faith in you.
Keone Durane.
Durane! Damn it! See, that's why you need this. Durane.
This is great.
I can get Vance Wilson. I got that one. Man, there's a bunch of them. I mean,
they got 3,000 coaches. It's got to be hard.
This is my favorite because I still hear people refuse to pronounce Edward Olivares' name correctly.
Eddie?
Just
call him Eddie.
This is my favorite.
Edward Olivares.
Olivares.
See? And it says under there, not Olivares.
Olivares.
Because there's a
Olivares.
Lot of people that, yeah.
Yeah.
Olivares.
All right, thank you.
So, I think there's some truth to what you said, Bod, about the fact that American baseball players grow up playing supervised baseball all the time.
Yeah.
Everything is supervised.
Yep.
Everything's programmed. You're just we'll think for you. But at the same time, I also do think that there's a lot more to these pitching departments than just some guy telling you exactly what to do. For example, you know, if they can teach you certain flexibility exercises that will allow you to increase your internal hip rotation. They can watch the video and realize, like, your hips don't internally rotate the way that they're supposed to.
I think Mike wants to punch you.
And you do these exercises, then that'll increase
your ability
to do
that. I am not giving birth. I don't need that.
Oh, come on. You know, it's you as well as anybody. And it's not like any of these principles are necessarily brand new. You know how important legs are in a pitcher's
I never use my
delivery.
Legs.
Get out of here. God, you're such a
You know what I did?
You're impossible.
You know what we did for
You're impossible.
You know what we did?
Do?
We would run out to center field. And this is just in spring training. The rest of it, you're on your own. Run to spring training. Cal Ripken Sr. would do some arm stretches as a group, neck stretches. Sometimes it depends how wet the ground was. We might go down and stretch our legs a little bit, then get up.
We'd do
10 jogs and then go get them. That was it. And we never did anything other than that during the year. You were on your own.
What about?
Jeez, and we never got hurt. It's amazing.
What about the coffee filled with amphetamines?
That was Boston. That was Boston.
Boston?
And I did not know. Uh-huh. That was not good.
Hey, can I have some of that special coffee? Okay, then.
I didn't know there was two pots, and there was no markings on either one of them. You know, I just grabbed a cup of coffee.
All right, Skip, I'm ready for a start. Let's go.
Yeah, 4:00 in the morning, I'm staring at the ceiling, and I'm pitching the next day during the playoffs.
You drank it by accident?
Yep.
Hell of a decaf. Yep.
I
came in and grabbed Tony Pena by the throat. I told him.
What happened? So there's two coffee pots.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, it was. One you dumped some in one, and the other was regular.
Okay.
And I grabbed the
wrong one.
Super leaded.
You didn't know?
Nope, did not know.
So when did you realize? When did your body tell you that perhaps things had gone
wrong? Well, I usually can go to sleep pretty quick at night, and I crawled into bed, and I sat there going, man. Okay, I know I'm starting tomorrow, but I've started 100 games. I know. And I'm sitting there, and it got to be 1:00. I'm going, I'm just not tired. And I'm staring at the 4:00 in the morning. I'm staring at the ceiling. I went, oh man, you got to be kidding me,
right?
Yeah. So I came in, and I think I asked Tom Bernanski or something like that.
Bruno.
Said, why was the two coffee pots? Oh, one was super unleaded, and one was just regular leaded.
Right.
I went, great.
How'd you pitch?
Not bad.
All right.
Not great. Not bad. I was pretty tired. I didn't sleep at all.
Did you happen to go to a disco afterwards?
No.
All right, then. We'll take a break back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us, Stephen St. John and AP Katie, in studio with Mike Boddicker.
Don't you think this Elvis should be dancing with Ann Margaret to that?
I love Ann Margaret. That's my favorite Elvis movie, Viva Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Is it? Okay, so I know that... I know the expectations aren't great for the Royals, and I know that, you know, they're caught behind this fabulous, wonderful year the Chiefs just had and won a championship, and then all three local fan bases were fully engaged in their basketball season until the end.
Right.
Because, you know, past years, some you know, like, say, K-State and Mizzou, they weren't engaged through March last year. They checked out.
Congrats
earlier,
to
right?
Jerome Tang.
Right.
Oh, wow. What a job he did.
But you've got all these things going on. I mean, is it... To me, there's a severe lack of buzz around the Royals. Like, I can't even believe right now that it's opening day tomorrow. Usually,
yeah, yeah.
I got a bunch
a fan,
of people
fan
calling
fair,
me.
Hey, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, are you going? The only person's asked me, I've had two people. My buddy Anthony, and then I said, why are you guys on? Nah, I'm not going to go. And then, of course, Bluma, but Bluma is Mr. Opening Day.
He is.
He'll be there.
He is.
But it's just, I mean, it's just my circle of people, and I just haven't
He's
heard
like
people
the Macy's
talking
Day
about it.
Parade balloons.
There's not a whole lot of excitement to me. Am I wrong?
No, you were correct. You were totally correct.
Nate?
Yeah, I don't feel like there's much buzz for the Royals at all right now.
Why?
Well, I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think, number one, the Kansas City Chiefs suck all of the oxygen out of the room. I mean, they just deserved,
too.
And deservedly so. They're the greatest. Well, I mean, they're the greatest.
And maybe they sucked all the money out of your wallet, too.
it's that, but it's also your emotional energy. Like, how many different things can, you know, like, I remember the Royals sucking some of the oxygen out of the Chiefs room back in 14 and 15. The Chiefs were actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't, like, Arrowhead wasn't full.
Nope.
You know, because the Royals had taken up everybody's emotional energy and time. And so the Chiefs have sucked up a whole lot of the oxygen in the room because, and the draft is coming here. I mean, the freaking draft is going to be here.
Yes.
And that's going to be, it's going to be enormous. I mean, it's going to be, and the NFL has a tendency to take over everything anyway.
Opening day is getting squeezed.
Yeah. And then KUK State and Missouri are all good and football and basketball now, or at least relevant, you know, like at least relevant. Yeah. And they all make the NCAA tournament. You know, I'll say this, Caitlin Clark, you know, is in Iowa are playing in the, did you see the game had higher ratings than any NBA game that ESPN's had all year?
I watched the one game, and she wasn't good. She turned the ball over a lot, and she didn't shoot the ball that well. And I looked up, and she had 30 points. I went,
The 40-point triple-double?
How the hell did she do that? She's pretty damn good.
So there's a lot of other stuff going on. Then you haven't been good for a few years. They didn't go out and—
There's your issue.
They didn't go out and sign anybody.
If we were good—
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be more relevant, and— People are asking me, when is opening day?
But
It's not being pushed where you...
And here's another thing. Half the town can't watch the games.
Exactly.
You know, that doesn't help at all. Out of sight, out of mind. You know, half the town can't watch the games. So I think when you combine all of it... Because I would say this, like, there have been years where the Royals weren't great. But opening day was still a big deal.
Oh, it's huge, yeah.
It was like the only day that was a big deal on the baseball calendar. But and it's still going to be a good crowd out there. I'm sure it's going to be a good crowd tomorrow. But I agree with you. I think there's less buzz. I just don't feel like there's much energy around and much momentum for it at all. And I think it's just a combination of all those things. Games are hard to find or get. For some people, you can't even watch them. Team hasn't been good for a while. The Chiefs are just it's all anybody can think about in town is the Chiefs. There's no off season to the NFL
Chiefs,
anymore.
Chiefs, baby, let's go!
Especially with the draft coming up.
Yeah,
basketball's kind of taking some of that away. You know, and K State's run all those things. You just put them all together, and it just seems like it's not as exciting. Speaking of this, I had a phone conversation this week, guys. You'll get a kick out of. I'm going to be doing a game in Toronto this weekend. And so the producer that I'm going to be working with is born and raised in Toronto. So he called me on Monday to touch base. Hey, I'm going to be your producer. Want to get to know you a little bit. You know, we're going to be doing the game together. He told me a little about himself. And I told him about how, you know, the Blue Jays and Royals, when I was a kid, just such a fun rivalry and all this stuff. And he said, you want to know something? In 1988, my dad took me to Kansas City, and I went to opening day. And I knew exactly what he was going to say. You remember what happened in 1988 on opening day?
George Bell,
three dingers.
And then he said,
I remember that, and I wasn't playing for either team. Yeah.
But those are the kind of moments that opening day can provide when your team's good. And I knew right away, I was like, oh, George Bell hit three home runs that day. And my kids were sitting in the car, and they're like, How did you just know that off the top of your head? I was like, every Royals fan knows that.
Yep.
And he was like, and you know what? He went to the national championship game and watched Danny Manning and the Jayhawks win the national championship that later that day. Some guy from Toronto, Canada got to do both of those things.
And there's fans all over the world.
Day. It was, that just made me think about, like, man, opening day. It's always such a great day. And usually, the old line, hope springs eternal. Everybody feels like they got a shot
clean,
on opening
clean
day.
Clean slate. Everybody's 0-0.
I don't think there's much.
But if you look at the standings, the Royals are still in last place at 0-0.
Yeah, it just feel like.
Okay.
It just doesn't feel like there's a lot of hope. Oh, this team this year, if they put it all together.
Yeah, there's not that buzz. Even with the ifs and buts, nobody's expecting the Royals to do anything.
Well, a lot of it's because they wasted last year.
What move did they make in the offseason that you're all fired up about?
Manager.
That'd
be about the
it's
only
all,
thing.
It's all, the coaching staff. It's all the coaching staff.
There's not. They and didn't think, do anything.
In the front office.
Marco's got one. What do you say?
No, I was just I was
he was just nodding his head.
No, I was a little taken aback that you guys both said the manager, but I mean, for obvious reasons, it's a big thing.
What else would it be?
You look at last year's opening
Jordan
day
Lyles.
Roster and this year's opening day roster, it's a complete overhaul.
I think the offense is going to be very fun.
Yeah.
Very entertaining. Like, there are individual players. I can't wait to watch Michael Massey get everyday at bats. I can't wait to see if Nate Eaton can force his way into everyday
at-bats. Both those two got hits yesterday. Okay. Massey drove in a run.
I'm very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know that I'm very excited about Vinny Pasquantino getting a full season.
Yeah.
You know, Bobby Witt Jr., that's the easy answer. Everyone should be excited about him. But, I mean, that's MJ Melendez and how they're going to utilize him and what he could be this year offensively. I know, but it's still something to watch. I'm very interested to see what they do. I mean, I'm interested that I thought they'd carry three catchers, and they're not gonna.
No,
and so he's gonna catch.
I was even actually shocked that I thought for sure Singer would be opening day starter. I really did. I thought they were going
to
hold him back.
He had to pitch in the WBC. It's two innings,
but he pitched five yesterday, and he was good.
He'll be the opening day starter next year. They defer to Greinke. I'd love to see him be the opening day starter.
Oh man, I would have too.
You know,
they get to show off the bullpen if. Possibly.
I think it's a great sign that Singer got up to five innings, though, because then that means he can at least go five, if not six, you know, his first start.
Yeah, but I would rather him not start against the Blue Jays.
Look, and I'm not claiming that the Royals should have gone out and made a big acquisition this offseason. I actually think they're approaching things the right way. This year, they should be finding out about these guys. They should get answers to all these guys. They should know how they feel about Massey
The bad part about that, Nate, is what if they're wrong about these guys? Then we got to wait for, four or five more years?
Well, when you say they're wrong, I mean, I think that some of these guys will pan out and some of them won't. But you got to get answers to those guys. I think what I was tired of watching, you want to know what I'm most, like, what move did they make that I'm most excited about? The general manager. I grew tired.
I know, but fans
older,
can't go out there and watch him like steal bases and
right. But I grew
he probably could. I mean, they're close enough. Now.
I grew tired of the approach of let's go sign some middling
Carlos Santana,
or these middling, you know, Michael A. Taylor. Okay, fine player, Michael A. Taylor, fine
good defensive
player.
Center fielder.
Good defensive center fielder. You're losing 90 plus.
Jackie Bradley Jr.
You lost. I mean, but
what's the difference?
Right back at you.
Well, is he going to play every day?
Probably. Right now he is.
He's not.
Right now he is.
Yeah.
That's what I said. You're not.
They seem like they've signed as many of those guys as they have in the past. I just don't feel like they have.
No. Well, I'll get back to you. Let's see how much Matt Duffy better not be in the lineup every day.
Good Lord, no.
Right.
Him and
who was the,
Jackie Bradley Jr. both made the team.
Who was the first baseman that he loved that you'd always throw out there?
No, I'm not going to say it. Not going to say it.
Who was it?
I'm not going to say it.
Guy from the Mets. Stephen loved it when he got the bats.
I just hope that they're, you know, there's guys on the team that I don't want to see.
I want them to play MJ Melendez every day.
And they committed. The difference is they actually committed to Michael A. Taylor, Jackie Bradley Jr. I don't think they signed him if Drew Waters doesn't get hurt.
Right. And he was a stopgap type thing.
Where is he? Where is Waters now, right now as far as health-wise?
Not yet. It's going to take a little bit. But I think they do have a different approach, and I think that it would have been silly to go out and sign some decent, you know, free agents that all would just get in the way of seeing if these young players are good enough to play or not. And you still aren't competitive. You still, and they lost 97 games. Like all those years, like what were we saying the last several years? Well, you got to give Dayton more credit. His team's not tanking. They're still trying. Well, they're still in last place.
I'm just ready for trades. Like, I would have traded Barlow already.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to see him be transactional. Mm. I'm with you on that.
I don't need what they should have done in the offseason, I thought.
I don't need a stud closer on a 100 loss team.
Yeah. I don't love the Aroldis Chapman.
They're not going to lose 100.
I'm not excited about the Aroldis Chapman thing. That one, I'm just like, why are we doing this?
Sign him and flip him.
But yeah, I hope they can flip him.
That's pretty much what we've done. Oh, you know, we'll get this guy, and if we can get him up there, we can flip him and get some prospects. Well, the problem in the years past is we couldn't develop prospects. That's the issue.
I really hope that they are super aggressive as you get to the trade deadline. Because you want them to evaluate, and they'll evaluate most of the team this year. But you'll know a lot by the All-Star break. You know, and I think, you know, Scott Barlow, you got to hope that he stays healthy and performs at a high level, because you can get an excellent return on him. Now, every day that you keep him, the return goes down.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're all in agreement. That's what's, you know, you don't need a, what the hell you need a stud closer for if you're buried in last place, when you can get good return for him. Been many teams that have traded reliever or relievers and gotten good quality young talent in return. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for.
What do you think about the guys they sent down?
Which ones? Stallmott was a surprise, but he couldn't throw strikes.
Couldn't throw strikes.
You're
going to
preach
go.
Throw strikes. Well, and I know Nate says spring doesn't matter. You say spring doesn't matter.
I like
if you can't throw strikes in spring, that matters.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Lovelady did pitch well enough. I thought he was mad on Twitter that he didn't make the team, but he'll be back.
You know what? There's a lot of guys who go to the minor leagues are ticked off.
I'm disappointed because
I've
had high expectations for Stallmott. Like before Barlow proved he was better than him, I thought Stallmott might have a chance to be the closer. I think he has closer stuff. You can't be a closer. You can't throw strikes.
No.
And Barlow's such a stud. He could do everything out of the bullpen.
Yep.
He could be a two-inning guy. He could put him in the seventh inning. He could put him in with runners on base. You could put him just as a closer. I don't know, and maybe I overvalue him. I just think that he could help so many contenders, and he could fill so many roles.
No doubt about it.
I just hope, because you know how quickly this changes, right? How quickly, tightness in the forearm. Oh, shoulder didn't feel right. Oh, whatever. And yesterday's dominant reliever is tomorrow's DFA.
Yeah.
That's how it rolls. And I don't want them to sit on the pot too long. Go ahead and
get off.
Sit on your thumbs.
What did I just say?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know
I
what
like
they
it.
Say? Blank or get off the pot.
That's right.
That's what this team can't do.
Yep.
We've always talked about it. Dayton Moore said it but never did it. I want JJ to do it, not say it. That'd be more transactional.
Dayton Moore also said that pitching was the currency of baseball.
Well, there you go.
And
Scott Barlow's currency. Go buy some more stuff.
Exactly. We have not had much currency in this.
Well, this is one of the areas that I'm going to mention, and I think we're already starting to see indications. Stallmott and is one of them right there. I believe that for far too long, the Royals have been way too in love with their own prospects.
Shorter leashes.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, I just think they just were so in love with their own prospects and their own guys. I mean, I remember listening to Steve Phillips say this one time when he was talking about when he had been a general manager, and he would ask all the scouts in the room, hey, how many big-time prospects we got in the organization? And you know, we got 20 of them. And then they'd list all their guys off. He goes, okay, let's go ask the scouts of other teams how many big-time prospects we have in our organization. You got three. You got three guys that actually are going to be stars.
Yep.
You know, because you have a tendency to dream on your own guy.
Yep.
And it's like which organizations can look at, like you and I talked about this, and I'm going to be interested to see what MJ Melendez becomes. I think they should have traded him when his stock was the highest.
Oh, yeah.
He can't catch.
Can't play
the outfield.
He
doesn't have a position to play.
No, none.
And offensively, he hits the ball really hard sometimes, which gives you something to dream on. And maybe he develops into a real stud, you know. But boy,
it's hard anymore. It's.
But
there's a lot of DHs out there. You don't need another DH. You have to be able to play some kind of position.
But it at least opens things up now that the National League has a DH.
Yes.
So now you can trade more. Every team needs a DH. Base. So,
but he's got to hit better.
Because
he's got to hit better than he's hitting.
What was happening for the most part
to do that
under Dayton over the last few years was we'll trade the guys that are about to be out of contract that are not that important. You know, we've got a Scott Barlow that's pitching really well. Let's move him for a mid-level prospect. Like and it's ironic because the biggest trade they ever made under Dayton Moore was the one where they traded Will Myers, and everybody was all up in arms and mad about it, and that actually is what ended up helping them become a winner. But when was the last time they made a big trade like that? We were like, oh wow. Okay, they're trading one of their biggest name prospects, or they're trading one of their biggest name players. And
the Greinke trade.
Greinke and Will Myers.
Those were both a long time ago now.
Yeah.
Right? And so I want to see, is this organization going to be willing? Because that's a ballsy move, right? Like, that's a move that's going to get people talking. Are they willing to do that with some of the guys that they love?
This is a business. Know? It's not It's not family. It's a business.
Well, who are the guys that they could trade like that? Barlow, Salvi.
Yep.
Brady Singer.
MJ Melendez. Like Bobby Witt Jr.
No. I'm not giving up Witt.
I'm not saying they should. You asked who they could.
Singer's proven something.
Yep. Yeah.
You should be able to get a lot if you decided. You know what I mean?
Especially if he pitches pretty well this year.
And how long do you wait to do it? You know, do you wait till he's only got 1 year left on his deal, which drives his number down? Things like that. They got to make those decisions. And I'm going to be interested to see. I think this regime is going to be less attached to their own guys. We'll see. But they've already shown it, you know, because that was another thing, like with Dayton. You could just go out there and bat 150 for 2 months straight, and they'd leave you in. Because they believed in those guys, right?
I'm leaving it alone, Steve. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get you stirred up. We got a break.
And I think now they're willing. It seems like they're willing to say, no, you got to produce. No matter how big of a prospect you are for us, you got to produce.
Yeah, they got to do it. It seems
we'll
like
see.
It, but they got to do
it. Yeah, we'll see. But I do think we've already seen some things that show that their approach is different.
Well, the first example will be how they handle Hunter Dozier. If he goes out there and hits like Hunter Dozier. Right? Do they just leave him in there, or do they, you know, look, we got other options.
I'm trying, Marco. You know I'm really trying.
Well, honestly, is that not true?
Yeah. Yeah.
How that's okay. Now, if he's hitting, they're going to leave him in there and be happy to do it. But if he's, you know, if his OPS is awful and he's, you know, and he's just a dead spot.
What if
in the
he tears
lineup,
it up the first half of the year?
Then they'll leave him in, trade him.
If he's hitting, they might not trade him.
But though he goes out and builds any trade value and they hold on
you
to
don't
him.
Know that.
They're going to be calling every team in
you
the league. Hey, I got a third baseman for you. Yes, they are.
They'll have every freaking person in the front office calling at least one team each. Be calling 30 teams at the same time.
Duda.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, you said it. Yeah,
I had to wait. You know? Till the right time.
And then, you know, Nate's had, like, we'll see how much will Matt Duffy and Jackie Bradley Jr. be in the lineup. Mm-hmm. You know? It's all well and good, but then you have to rely on the manager. Yeah, that
somebody pokes
that
an
temptation.
Eye out.
Oh, I need a veteran in this lineup. Let me put this guy. Let me get this veteran bat in there. You never know.
I just don't think that's going to be.
I hope
there's a
right.
lot Quatrero's style.
I hope
there's
so.
A lot of stupid people in baseball. Somebody's going to take these people, no matter what.
That's Mike Boddicker. We'll be back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Tomorrow's opening day, but today we have Gary Lezak to give you the forecast for this Wednesday and also tomorrow so you can plan accordingly. Hello, Gary. Mike Boddicker is also here.
Oh, my gosh. Good morning, Mike Boddicker.
Walker.
Good morning, Gary. I stuck around just to hear your melodious voice.
Yeah, nice to talk to you today. You ready for baseball season?
As ready as I'm going to be with what's out there. So, yep.
Oh, my goodness. You know, tomorrow's high temperature is going to be 69 degrees.
Wow.
You're sticking with that, huh?
It's an omen for the Royals.
You guys, everyone out there, you think I make it up? Tomorrow's high.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, let's go celebrate. Hey, listen, let's go, Marco. It's going to be 69 degrees tomorrow. All right? There we go.
This is two times you've had me play it before it's even hit 69, so a lot's riding on tomorrow.
We should reserve this for day of.
Well, then you can pull it. Pull it, Marco.
That's exactly what I told you about going into the locker room tomorrow, right?
That's right. Pull out all the good questions, right?
Yep, pull it.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, we'll celebrate tomorrow. All right, we'll wait. You guys, we're going to have a big celebration if that forecast continues to be consistent. And I'm sticking to it, Nate. Yes.
I got a dad joke for you, Gary.
No way.
I do, too.
I'm ready.
My wife asked me, why don't you treat me like you did when we were first dating? So I took her to dinner and a movie, then dropped her off at her parents' house. Hey!
Wow. I like that.
Hey!
Yeah. That's really good. Hey, Gary, you going to be able to come to the bourbon raffle this year?
Is this a dad joke?
No! Yeah, that is a joke.
I'm available this year. Remember, I retired. What is it?
That doesn't. You might be in North Dakota. I don't know. You're in Florida. You're all over the place. You're like pigeon poop. You're everywhere.
Wow.
Which week is it?
It's the 24th of April, Monday, 6:30. Your birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, we could have a celebration.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I can come over for my birthday.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't want to take you away from your birthday. You might have special plans.
Well, last year was a big one. This year's just 61, you know? So.
Yeah. Just a kid.
Yeah, they're going to start calling me the godfather of weather.
Is it going to rain tomorrow, Gary?
No. It's going to be dry for the game, a high of 69 degrees tomorrow. It might be windy. You know, it's going to be windy.
Blowing in or blowing out?
Blowing out to left field.
Some dingers.
Yeah.
MJ's going to be out there.
Strike.
Oh, boy. It doesn't matter what position he's at. The wind's blowing. We're in trouble.
Hey, listen, we can win the first game. Come on.
So you're looking for a 1-61 season or what? Is that what you're looking at?
Bob, your damn negativity, Boddicker.
He said one game. If we win the first game and go 1-161, it's probably better than going 60-102. I'm serious. If you go 1-161, at least it's noteworthy.
I like that math.
Yeah. So, that would be one heck of a season to go 1-161. As long as you won the first game. You gotta feel good at least for one day. All right, that's the goal. Today's high, 57 degrees. Tonight, down to about 38 degrees. 69 degrees, the forecast high tomorrow, and windy and dry. No rain. Chance of a brief shower or thunderstorm Friday as the system blows through. It is predicted from 75 days ago, this next severe weather risk. We issued a report in January, and we're going to be five for the first five. We made 11 severe weather predictions. And this next week, beginning around Friday, really the main storm is the following week, so next week. But there's going to be some risk of severe weather. In Kansas City, you always have to watch it closely. They often blow by real quickly at this time of the year. So Friday, I'm expecting that risk of severe weather to blow by us fairly quickly. We'll see how it sets up. It's really eastern Missouri that has a chance of more significant severe weather Friday as severe weather season begins. But Saturday, back down to 55 degrees, and then Sunday. I got my sights on Sunday, 74 degrees Sunday.
That's what the almanac said. Man, you're right on.
God, that farmer's almanac is just amazing. Man. Thank you very much. Any questions? Any dad jokes from you, Boddicker?
What do you call a bird that doesn't know the words?
Chirp?
A hummingbird.
Oh, a hummingbird hums with the end of the words. I get that. That's a good one.
That is great. Nate and Mike Boddicker come through. Thank you very much,
just
guys.
For you, Gary.
You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Gary. That was Gary Lezak. We'll be back after this with Greg Gurley on Sports Radio 810 WHB.